the Lodge, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you, but I'm not alone. I'm with my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the degenerate trifecta, Harry, brother Brian, Darren, the parlay kid. What is going on, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
What's shaking, Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
Well, we have controversy, of course. We have more controversy now that Harry's video feed is kicked out. No, now he's back. But it is Harry is the center of the controversy again. He was 0-8-1. You guys give out picks every day on extrapoints.com. God bless you. This is now close to, 300-plus days, Parlay Kid? It's got to be, right?
We're closing in on a year. So it's 340 days now, 350 days.
They don't take weekends off anything. Yeah, it's 19 days short of a year. And Harry has put together some streak. He was 0-8-1 going into yesterday, where he picked Harry Kane to score an anytime goal and then celebrated when Kane, in an extra time, he got a penalty kick and followed up his missed penalty kick and scored. And Harry is doing laps as much as Harry can for that win.
Well, look, I thought it was a win, too, because at any time, I mean, okay, I get ripped last show because of...
Anytime, in the next three years.
If you go and check it out, it says 104th minute, Harry Kane scores. But again, yeah. I did get confirmation from my buddy in Vegas who's works in the book that they are not paying that. So again,
You got confirmation that they were.
Buddy did, but then my other buddy who knows more said no. So
now you know who your real buddies are.
Unbelievable.
Well, we go by FanDuel rules, and brother Brian, I've actually seen both. To Harry's, I'll stick up for him a little here, but I've seen both. I know, boy, you do see, it does seem like any time it's like, yeah, he can't go home and practice with his daughter while she's playing goalie and score, right? He can't really be anytime, but it's usually regular. I don't want to talk about soccer for even more than 3 minutes, but it's usually regular time. And you get lucky if you get a penalty kick in there, brother Bri, but not the extra time. And for God's sakes, not when you miss and follow up and get one in.
Yeah. Harry's really struggling with this in regulation part of the bet for soccer. I think he keeps forgetting. Then yeah, he's celebrating on Twitter all over the place, but I brought it up because I believe.
Of course you did.
I believe in the.
Of course you did.
I believe the last World Cup. I had a bet similar where the guy scored an extra time. I did not get credit for it. So then right away I was like, okay. Well, Harry, you're not getting credit for it.
I think they should spell it out a little better because there are so many different sectors of a game. I mean, obviously, if it goes to penalty kicks and he's one of 10 idiots lining up to go, that shouldn't count. But Babyface Joel Solomon, what does any time mean to you?
It's really any time except when Harry bets on it. So
I leave it to Harry
to be let down by Harry.
So true.
I feel bad. The dog stepped on your punchline there, Joel, but you'll get another shot. We'll jump in there. Anyway, all right. So extrapoints.com, more losers from Harry. Just tell everyone right now, who do you have today? You made a nice video.
Already lost.
Oh, it's lost. It was your 0-10-1. That's
0-10-1.
Oh, which female player did you have? I forgot.
I had Pliskova to -2.5 more aces than Sabalenka.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Oh, and I liked it. Now I'm going to retweet it. That's what I'm going to do. I love that. All right, extrapoints.com. These other guys aren't as bad as Harry. Speaking of bad parlay kid, it was announced, I meant to cover this the other day, the Cowboys are going to be featured on Hard Knocks. I think it's official. I talked about this with Sheck yesterday on Extra Points. Why? Because Jerry Jones is the only guy that likes this. He really is the only owner that likes the spotlight. And, you know, we talk about meddling owners and how you would like Steinbrenner back for the Yankees. It'd be kind of cool, kind of would whip this team into shape. Then there's the other side of it. Like, oh, we have to be featured on Hard Knocks. We have to now not like some players that we already like. The Cowboys were on in 2002, Parlay Kid. They were 5-11 that year. Yeah. Do you remember who the quarterback was?
What year did you say, Sal?
2002. It's a forgettable year.
It wasn't Vinny Testaverde, was it?
It was Chad Hutchinson. Oh, I think God. He went on. He had like
Hutchinson.
7 touchdowns, 8 interceptions.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What's his name? Was the coach? Dave Campo.
Three
and they
straight
went to SeaWorld.
5-11 years. Yeah, three yeah, straight 5-11 years. And look, at that time, Sal, I get it because the Cowboys were like a dull team, right? They needed a little boost for their brand, What do they need it for right now in their brand? Like, this actually just, to me, just kind of solidifies what Jones is really about. He's not about winning. Mm-hmm. It's about the brand. And the Cowboys don't need any help in their brand right now. They're one of the most valuable franchises in the world, for crying out loud. Right. So, please, yeah. I get the Dave Campo era Cowboys that were led by the likes of Chad Hutchinson.
Yeah.
Probably need, you know, maybe then you were, hey, let's get us a little recognition here, or, you know, get the Cowboys name out there because we suck otherwise. But this just does not make sense to me. I don't know why anybody would agree to do the Hard Knock stuff. I really don't know why.
Come out to California. We'll drive to Oxnard. We'll lodge our complaints officially, right to Jerry, right to his face. We've made the ride before.
We've been up in, you know.
Yeah,
he was one thing we would say, Sal, he was quite the gentleman to us when we met.
Right.
We were one of the few regular everyday guys who actually got invited into his suite, which is usually reserved for presidents and very important people.
Yes.
Me, you, Brother Bry. If Harry was with us on that trip, there's no way we get invited to that box.
Well, there'd be no room.
But Jerry Jones, when I was at Oxnard with Sal, Jerry Jones let me use some of his sunblock. Remember, Sal?
Oh, that's right. He did. Yeah. He really did. Yeah.
He was concerned that I never had on, and he just gave it to me.
Yeah. He gave you like three containers of sunblock, and you went through all of them. Yeah. 2008 Parley Kid, Romo quarterback. They went 9-7 that year. Third in the NFC East at 9-7. Yes. Can you imagine this day and age being third in that division at 9-7? So Romo had a pretty good year that year. But so let's think about this in terms of odds, because that's always how we think about things. Over under 9.5, Parley Kid, we have to go over. We have to say this is a 10-7 team. It's the second week in July. They haven't given us a reason not to. Best quarterback in the division. Everyone wants to say Washington has defense is the best unit in the division. I don't think so. I think it's the Cowboys offense. Stop us. Come on, Harry. What are you making noises for? They scored 21 points a game with Andy Dalton. I think they could up that 10 points. They can score in the 30s and then whatever. It'll be a slugfest, right?
Well, Sal, their defense is going to be improved. Their defense can't be worse. They've had some free agent acquisitions, their first round pick, and several of their draft picks were on the defensive side of the ball. Dan Quinn was not a very good head coach, but he's always been known as an outstanding defensive coordinator. Huge upgrade for the Cowboys there. And look, we always feel good about this team because you look at the roster and it just seems like in that division, they do have more talent, at least on the offensive side of the ball. They have a lot more talent than any other team in that division. They should win 10 games. We'll be sitting here going 8-9 or 9-8, I'm sure, at some point. But I don't see any reason. Give me a reason why they're not going to win 10.
Everyone's got the same schedule pretty much.
I don't buy that. I don't look into the strength of schedule or any of that stuff because
strength of schedule, we've said it before. It should go, I hate to just lean on the gambling part of it, but the strength of schedule should not go by last year. It should go by the, you know, projected win total for every team on your schedule. 100%. Isn't that how it should go?
Exactly.
But that said, Parlay Kid, well, not too bad. At Bucks, at Chargers, home against the Eagles, home against the Panthers, home against the Giants. All right, so we got to...
3-2.
We can't do this. We can't look at this now. This is crazy.
I know.
This
is crazy. And Sal, we know. We just...
Yeah.
We do it to ourselves.
It's too much.
Every single year. Except for those Campo years. We knew we were bad.
Well, here's what surprises me. So they've been a disaster that betting they're over because they're America's team and the line is jacked up a little, at least the juice is. So this century, they're 7-14 if you bet the over, the team projected wins.
Right, that sounds
good. But the Hard Knocks team since 2018, three out of the last four have gone over their projected win. The Rams and Chargers split last year, right? Rams were 10-6, that went over. Chargers 7-9 under. Brother Bry, your team, the Raiders, that was the Antonio Brown year.
Yep.
It was 7-9, but that was still good enough to go over. And the Browns, the Bakers first year, right? 7-8-1, that was good enough to go over. So I don't know which stat. Go ahead, Harry. I know you're going to take it. Put a negative spin on this.
Well, look, Darren's asking for a reason. I'll give it. Like in the last 2 years, Dallas has averaged 7 wins. They're going to get theirs on offense. There's no doubt about it. Dak's back. Hopefully, you know, for you guys, he puts up great numbers and doesn't get injured.
But the defense is what kills Dallas. It killed them last year. Give them 473 points last year, most in the East. 144 more points than Washington. They allowed 28 points or more 9 times. Darren's been numerous times has ripped Jalen Smith about how terrible he is and how he doesn't do what he's supposed to do on the field. Until the defense proves, Darren made good points about Quinn, but still, until we see it on the field, this team is 8-8.
All right.
Seven.
I don't know.
Well,
add
a game.
Okay.
Add a game.
Eight, nine, whatever you want.
Brian, do you think the Cowboys go 8-8?
Double digits is tough.
You can't think they go 8.
Yes. Well, I'm going to go. I'm siding with Harry here, too. I'm going to go the under 9.5. I just don't think this team can win more than 9 games without Jason Garrett as their coach.
We say it every year. I know Harry just talked about it again. Can you trust the defense? The defense should be much better.
I mean, just the likes of Parsons and even like Cox, you know, who they had drafted. But again, I know you said you didn't want to go through it, but the Cowboys schedule, you know, at Tampa, at Chargers, you might be staring at 0-2 to start. My assumption is I'm thinking at best they go 4-2 in that division, even though the division is shitty, which means they have to go 6-5 outside of that division. And their schedule outside of the division is pretty tough. So, and they start the season too. Only 2 of their first 12 games are against the division. So definitely could get off to a rocky start. Like I said, you know, Parsons is a great addition, but again, between Van Der Esch injuries or just bad play between him and Smith, their interior D line, I don't know how good that is. Their secondary probably should be good. Their offensive line, you never know. Just it feels like 2 or 3.
Well,
guys,
it's gone from the best to right. I hope average. I don't even know anymore.
2 or 3 guys get injured. I mean, you got to think at this point this year it's probably an average offensive line. But still, offensively they should be good enough. But I don't know. It's hard to say they're going to get 10 wins though. I wouldn't trust. I wouldn't trust it.
We'll check it out. I mean, I know they're going to show Zeke on Hard Knocks. He's going to be eating like cheesecake soup or something. I got to shut this off. I can't watch this.
By the way, though, I guess this was on the Cowboys, but there was only a few teams left that had to do Hard Knocks, right? The Giants have been able to remain off of Hard Knocks forever. Look,
Jerry Jones runs the league. That's it.
It's ridiculous.
That's how it goes.
Crazy.
Joel Solomon, Babyface, what do you think? You've looked over the schedule. What do you think?
The Cowboys do have it. It's a super tough schedule. Not as hard as the strength of schedule Harry has dealing with all his jobs from Ken.
That's true. Yeah, that's the toughest of the league. That's why Harry's projected for 0 wins this year. All right.
A lot today.
So there you go.
Today.
We're going to be talking a lot of football. I mean, basketball could be over. As we know, hockey has ended, and we'll discuss that in a bit. But basketball could be over in a matter of a week. It could be Wednesday is game 4, right? And that will... Oh, boy. So let's go right into it. That'll be our next race to 10. What a disaster. Poor brother Bri, the big streak, 4 in a row. It ended. We had the Suns to get to 10 before the Bucks. They were winning 8-7, and then they were down 9-8 with the ball. And then, like, that didn't even really matter because, well, it ended up mattering because we blew that. And then Giannis goes to the line, and he misses the first but makes the second, and we were done. Brother Bri, are you over it? I know you had trouble with
this. No, I'm not. I really feel shitty from that loss. We do this race to 10. I had been undefeated. I wanted to just go. Mm-hmm. I wanted to just close out the season going.
Two more, right?
Yeah. Go at least, you know, one more. But, I mean, we didn't deserve to win the other week, and we deserved to win the last game. Right. I mean, the fact that Booker, honestly, on that drive, I mean, I get it. Paul was wide open. He didn't miss a shot after that, but Booker could have laid it in. Everybody else was wide open on that possession.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It would have been, if Giannis missed that second free throw and we won, that would have been like an all-time great.
It was a weird game because I had the first half over, and that was ridiculous, right?
Yeah, to go
that didn't go over,
right.
But that last minute and a half, just missed layups, everything. I think it was 108, but yeah, it ended up 106. Yeah. And Harry had the game under, and the game went over, and it should have. But that doesn't happen that much. We lost the race to 10 with the Suns. I lost on TV race to 20 with the Suns.
Just as bad.
But then the Suns win the first quarter for the parlay kid. Such a strange game.
That really wasn't that as odd as it could get the way that that first part of the game was insane. Mm-hmm. Absolutely insane.
And so now the Bucks at Suns, game two is tonight. Suns, as of last time, was 5.5 and 219 and a half. Now I think it's 5 and 220 and a half. That over-under went up a point. I'm going Bucks. I'm going Bucks plus 5.5. I think the free throw discrepancy was the big difference, right? I mean, there was a lot of differences, right? Like the Suns do punish you on the mismatches, and the ball rotation is better. Maybe the Jazz have better ball rotation, but it's going to lead to so many open threes once you make a mistake inside. And that's kind of what they do. That's kind of how they bury you. Sure. But free throws, 25 for 26. The Suns took every advantage of the massive discrepancy. And then I think like the Bucks were like 9 for 16 or something. I don't know that gets better, but the refs have a way of figuring this out. I'm taking the Bucks plus the points. They're 6-2. After the last 8 double-digit losses, and they average 111 points a game, and they hold the defense, they hold the other team to 105, and I think it's going to be a defensive struggle here. I like the under. I like the Bucks plus the points. Who else is with me?
You know what, I'll jump on with you, Sal, because I was going back and forth between the Bucks 5 and the Bucks first half 2.5. But I'm gonna stick with my initial thought of the Bucks. Okay. The Bucks 5 though too. There, yeah. So. Like you were saying, I mean, everything kind of worked out perfectly for the Suns in that game. Bucks were all out of sorts defensively, especially when Lopez was on the floor. So, you know, Paul and Booker just weren't missing shots. I think the Bucks are going to, you know, now that Giannis is back, they'll be in a little bit better rhythm in this game. I do think, I'm pretty sure the teams coming off game one against the spread victories at home have not covered the majority of the times in the finals, which is odd, but just something to keep an eye on. But yeah, I like the 5, 5.5. I mean, 5.5, obviously I like a lot more, but it's 5 right now.
Yeah. I think like the home team almost always wins game one. I showed it on Fox Bet Live yesterday. I sent it to you guys too, right? It just happens. What do I have it here?
Well, you had like sorry, the 6-0. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
That's you had like the 6-0 against the spread, the last home, right? But all blowouts, right? I think.
Yeah, the last 7 NBA champs, right? 6 of them won game one of the finals. The Cavs 2016 were the only ones that didn't. So the home team, the favorite, is supposed to win game one. Doesn't scare me off the Bucks for game two. All right, Pauly Kidd, you're in line.
I'm in line with what you guys are saying. And it's really no different. I'm just going to take the Bucks. Plus 2.5 for the first half at minus 108. I think the Bucks get off to a good start. I mean, they got off to a pretty good start the other day until things fell apart. So basically right up your alley here, Sal. I think this is a game the Bucks have to have, right? They have to have this game. So it all starts in that first half. I think Giannis, there's no surprise there, now that he's got his legs back under him, has a kind of a dominating performance tonight. But we'll see where it falls. I'm not going to take him for the game here, but I think at least in the first half, we see their max effort. And I'll take the 2.5 points while I'm at it, too.
Yeah. All right. There you go. Harry, you're going against the grain. You're Phoenix native now, I guess. So you're going Suns to cover.
Yeah, just everything works for the Suns. I'm going to have them cover the 3-0 against Milwaukee this season. 6-1. Versus Milwaukee in the last 7. I think the Bucks just a little too erratic. Lopez, Bryant just mentioned, terrible. It was invisible in the second half. Holiday and Portis were invisible in the entire game. My man, DeAndre Ayton is a force down low. Stat of the show right now, 128 for 180 in field goals in the playoffs. 71.1%.
Are you lobbying for good point of the podcast?
I don't know. Maybe. 12 rebounds a game. Phoenix is on fire. They roll again, Sal.
Man.
All right. Yeah, I don't know about that. I know babyface Joel Solomon, you're infatuated with the Bucks coach, right, Coach Bud?
It is. He looks so stressed out on the sideline. It's so fun to watch. It's like if he doesn't win this game, he might have his car and house repossessed. It's basically like Brother Bry.
Yeah, that's true.
Like walking
that's
Brother Bry.
Well, yeah, Brother Bry during Race to 10. That's exactly what it is.
Should we call him Brother Bud? Maybe we'll call him Brother Bud for now. All right, let's hit some player props because this is where I do so well with these. Now, I don't know. It's tough. And it's tough to pick top scorer. I've stayed away from this for a while, but I'm going with Chris Middleton, top scorer. And I know it could be Chris Paul. It could be Ayton. It could be Booker. It could be Middleton. Obviously, it could be Giannis. So what, you're really taking a shot here. And plus 310, though, I still think are good odds because guy shoots. All he does is shoot, right? He's getting 4 to the last 5 games, 6 of the last 8 games. He's had 20 or more shots. He's averaged 28 points per game over the last 5. I think he could be the top scorer, especially with Giannis' score total is low. It's like 26?
26 and a half.
20, yeah.
You know, he's normally around 33, 34, yeah, which is almost exactly what he gets. I think we had the stat, like 6 out of 10 games, he had either 33 or 34. Now the injured version, this version of Giannis, is expected to get 26. So Middleton, top scorer, plus 310. I have another one afterwards, but I want to hear from you guys. Good, Harry, lay it on with us with Ayton.
Yeah, Ayton over 15 and a half points at minus 138. 6 career games versus Milwaukee, 6-0, scoring 17 points or more, dominant in the paint. And again, if Lopez takes a whole half off like he did in game one in the second half, Ayton's going to get those easy layups, easy dunks, over 15 and a half. He's been a force.
There you go. Paulie kid, I should have jumped when I mentioned Giannis. Yeah. That's what you're going with there.
Yeah,
right?
I like Giannis over 26 and a half points. I think this number is low for a guy who played 35 minutes the other night, Sal, and he looked healthy, right? We can all agree that he was jumping out of the gym the other night. I think as witnessed by his 17 rebounds. And I might be coming back with that as my sharp tank for his rebounding total. I might be switching it. The numbers have changed a little bit.
Oh.
And by the way, kudos to FanDuel. There's steal and block props now, too, on it. There's defensive props.
They
that wasn't
up
there
on
before,
this.
Right? I mean, I don't think I saw that before, but you can now get steals, blocks.
They have a bunch of defensive props up there.
Like
it's very
that.
Nice.
I like the defensive
and those are,
props.
Paul, like it, that's anytime blocks, right?
Right. So
walking up.
Okay. I mean, anytime blocks.
Wow.
Right. Ayton's like over like, you know, one block is like minus 196. Not bad.
I love it.
But I like it. That's kind of like what they've done. So good job by FanDuel. But yeah, Giannis had dropped 20 in game one. He looked fresh. He only took 11 shots, right? Mm-hmm. That shot total is going up for Giannis tonight, correct?
Yeah.
In a game that's a must-win game for the Bucks, or at least, I guess it's not must-win, but it's going to feel that way.
No, you said earlier it was must-win.
I did say
it.
I guess, you know, down 2-0 is not the end of a series.
They need it. They need it. It'd be tough to come back.
They need it. Right, exactly. So 26 and a half. Sal, anytime you get Giannis at basically even odds for 26 and a half points, don't you have to jump on that?
You do,
I feel like,
but
you gotta jump on.
It's not a pretty watch if it's close, right? You got to watch.
Well, the missed free throws are going to be cursing the TV for that.
Yeah, if he hits 20 in the first half, you're looking good.
But don't you feel like this is a game where the props could hit? Because I do think it's kind of a close game. Like, I don't think this is a runaway game on either side.
Right.
So
yeah,
I think that helps the props.
I wouldn't go under. That's for sure. But just make it naturally. Don't go to the free throw.
He did go 12 times last time, and
I know
hit 7. I mean, I'll take it. If you can go to line 12 and hit 7 or 8, I'll take it. I guess
he made the one that buried us in the race to 10. All right, Brian.
Damn it,
Brian. Connaughton, 6.5 is the over under. But I saw something. His threes over under is like 1 or 1.5.
Yeah.
I was looking at that too. Which way are you going?
Yeah, I'm going to go. Well, I will also say FanDuel does have great props. They have the Giannis to make or miss first free throw attempt, which is also a lot of fun.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. To make is minus 136. To miss is plus 106, which I like the
miss. To make is plus 450.
I like the miss. But yeah, I'm going to go Connaughton over 6.5 points at plus 106. So regardless of how well Lopez played offensively in game one, in the first half, it's pretty obvious after game one, they're not going to be able to hide him defensively. The Suns exploited every mismatch with him. He scored 17 points in 23 minutes and he was still a minus 17. So
yeah, I don't understand his stat line at all. I was looking at that because I was going to bet against him. Then I'm like, he didn't even really play that many minutes. So I don't want to go under his point total. Right. So baffling.
But
his stat
line. I know exactly. I was thinking the same thing because his line is like 12.5 points. And I was like,
right.
Yeah. But I like the under, but still. But, you know, his minutes should be limited, I think, in this game probably. And Connaughton will be the beneficiary of a few extra minutes. you know, and the Bucks especially had actually had a lot of success later on in that game with the smaller lineup. So, you know, Connaughton had at least 8 points or more in three straight games. He's averaged 10 in that span over those three. So six and a half seems a little low. And I like that for him. I could see him hitting, you know, and similar to your threes, I could see him hitting two threes in this game.
Yeah. I got another one I want to throw at you. Did I tell you guys, I want you to guess Chris Paul over under points first quarter.
Oh, I know it. I won't guess because I know
it. You know it?
Yeah.
Harry, you want to guess?
5.5.
Paulie Kidd, you want to guess?
I was going to say 4.5.
It's low.
It's 3.5. And I guess it makes sense if you go by his average or anything, but I was like, oh my God, 3.5. I'm going over. That's two buckets. That's one bucket and two free throws. What the hell? -120, -106, over 3.5. No, I'm going under. 0, 5, 2, 2, and 0 in his last five. And wow, I looked at this. I spent way too much time looking at play by play, you know, like the written out.
Right.
He really doesn't even get this first, take his first shot. I have to think it's by design. I mean, if it's wide open three, he's going to take it a minute into the game. But I feel like he doesn't get, well, I just read the stats. He doesn't get going, but he doesn't even really shoot until halfway through the first quarter. Not a fun bet probably to make and root for, but under 3.5 has cashed. And again, I think that's a new prop by FanDuel. So
yes, it is.
That's a good one. Hey, we have our prop swap prop, right? You have to follow both accounts, prop swap and extra points pod. And this guy, Sean Stahn, S-T-A-H-N, has won the last two of these. So either he's great or not a lot of people are playing these. So I don't know. It's probably a combination of it. But Middleton points plus 8 in rebounds. You have to follow both accounts. Take your guess. Harry, you went low for this, right? We asked you this Tuesday. I think you said like 33 or something, but make your guess at either of those accounts. And there you go. That's going to be fun. Prop swap. What do you get? You get a free Suns to win the title ticket, which is looking good right now. All right, NHL game 5. Yes, it's over. Tampa Bay wins 1-0. I was so nervous. I needed that Tampa Bay win to get control of the lead on Fox Bet Live with 10 days of betting left. It's very exciting. I can't wait to see how I blow it. But I got lucky. The mayor of Tampa Bay got lucky. What happened, Joel? She's busy today? She wouldn't come on with us?
All of a sudden, very busy. No time for us. But she's planning the parade, which we should be planning the parade for you, my friend. 10 more days. Fingers crossed.
Oh, no. Not yet. Not just yet.
Don't jinx it, Joel.
Joel, go home. Get out of there. I don't even want to hear that anymore. 1-0. I think everybody thought it was going to be a blowout. You got to be, Carey Price was great. Lightning had way more chances, I'll say, but just getting it past them was the big key, and they did it once, and once was enough. Harry, you had -2.5 goals. The empty netter didn't even come to play. I thought they'd pull Price earlier than they did.
Oh my gosh. That was,
yeah. Me and Darren were talking about that last night.
I was talking to Harry about that. It was like a minute and 45 seconds left. They pulled him. I mean, they waited way too long. You got to pull him at least at 2:30. At least at 2:30 right there. Mm-hmm.
I'm not a guy. If the faceoff is outside the zone, so what, right? As long as it's not in your zone, I think, right?
I couldn't believe they put him back on the – I know exactly what you're talking about. I was shocked.
It's just outside the blue line. Like, who cares? So, but anyway, that's it for Montreal. Valiant effort. They weren't that good. Yeah. We're going to pick now our best. Oh, Joel, you asked a question that was the most nervous. What did you ask?
Was that the most nervous you've ever been watching a game that didn't involve your team? Like that wasn't.
No.
Not even close.
Not even close. Do you understand, Joel, how many times I've made bets with money I didn't have? I don't know. The next day, if I'm having food on my family's table, I'm having a roof over their heads. I have no idea. You kidding me?
Joel, in college, Sal was borrowing money from me.
It's true. It really is true. I had the money. I had a summer job. I had idiotic summer jobs. Paulie Kidd could tell you. I couldn't keep a summer job for more than a week. And none of them. I was talking to our friend Chris about it. We used to move furniture, stained furniture for the Cascones. And I made no money. And I didn't even care. I was like, oh, well, whatever. It was just for the joke of the job.
Sal, Sal drove an ice cream truck for a few weeks. He sideswiped some cars, and that was that. That's
not some. Two. Is two some? Yeah, I guess two is some. Yeah. No, Parley Kid and our buddy Joey would have good jobs. Joey would like bust tables, make $200 a night. Darren, you did like, what'd you do? You like painting and yard? You make $300 a week.
I worked for E&F Trucking, Sal. And you know what's funny bring this up? I worked in a warehouse with our friend Finken. The owner just died like a couple days ago. So Finken told me, the poor owner just died. Just died. Guy was a
Murdered.
What a shame. It's funny that you bring that up. But yeah, Sal had that. Sal, didn't you run drive a lawnmower into a pool too?
Did that happen? I had a lie because I had no employment. And this guy, what was his name? He had like four brothers and sisters too.
Fred Gorski. How did I remember that?
Yeah. He had a lawn maintenance service and he had those giant mowers. And there were like five or six other mowers younger than me. And he's like, "Do you know how to run one of these?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure." And it's one of those things. It goes against what you think. If you pull the lever towards you, it stops. If you let it go, it goes.
Right.
So I couldn't negotiate that in my head, and the thing ended up in the pool, and it still paid me $20 for the day's work. Thank you, Fred Gorski, for that. I probably should mail him the money back. But yeah, I had like seven summer jobs that one, like that lasted a week. Harrow's Pools, Dairy Barn, obviously. I had some other crazy, stupid shit. But anyway, yeah, Harry had the money. I had no money when I would go to college. Harry worked at this nuclear power plant, no joke. And he made money, and that was it. That's where we'd get our gambling loot. But anyway, so Joel, yes, this is not even close to the most nervous. I'm glad it won. Let's look at 2020. Two, I guess, favored to win. I'll give my pick last. Bri, get yours out of the way. It's a homer pick. You like the Islanders.
It's a homer pick, yeah. I like the Islanders at 20-1. Look, we can now say the Islanders are the second best team in hockey for the second year in a row. Look, it's possible you might get the Islanders at a higher price during the season because there is a good chance. They always have a little cold spell. Sometimes it's hard to get this offense going or, you know, defensively grinding out every night is a little bit tough, but they turn it up every postseason. So it's going to be interesting off seasons. You know, can we bring back Paul Murray? What do we do at Bailey? My assumption is Wahlstrom is a really good goal scorer for us. We get Lee back. A lot of questions, but you got to trust Lou Lamoriello and Trotz to find a way to get us back to, I think, you know, we're going to get back to a Final Four here. And I like the 20-1 odds.
All right, that's good. All right, Parley Kid, I know you're rooting obviously for the Islanders, but just to be different,
I didn't want to double up on that pick. So, with the Islanders, and I think the way Trotz kind of his career in with Washington kind of has gone along just with the Islanders in the same fashion, and then it was really he's due to win the Cup next year, Trotz, with the Islanders, if everything stays the way it did with the Capitals. And like Brian said, with Lee back, and we got the expansion draft, by the way, coming up in a couple weeks, which is going to be very interesting for a lot of teams. Could free up some cap space for the Islanders. Could. And then the regular NHL draft, like the day or so after that expansion draft. So that's going to be fun. I'm going to go with the team. I think when you get the Boston Bruins at 20-1, I think you got to you got to jump on that. Every year they have that. I hate the name, that perfection line or whatever they want to call it. But the Bruins are going to be right in that mix as well. And you won't see them at 20-1 in the postseason, right? And you know they're going to make the postseason. You will not see them at 20-1 in the postseason. So jump on now. Because you get other teams. Like a couple years ago, I had like last year, I think I had the Lightning to start the season. But I almost could have gotten the same odds for them to start the postseason. Right, it was like 5-1 or whatever it was. It wasn't too far off come the start of the postseason. The Bruins at 20-1, those odds will be much different come playoff time. So jump on them now at 20-1. They have they're a fantastic team. I hate when the Islanders play the Bruins. The one team I like the Islanders to avoid, even though we beat them this year.
Well, there you go. Both 20-1 odds, Bruins and Islanders. So if you could hit both and just hope that division. You know, yields a winner there. Harry, you like what you saw out of Tampa Bay and jumping back 7-1.
7-1 to three-peat. Look, so many teams are good offensively, like Edmonton and the Avs, but they just can't get it done in the playoffs. Tampa does get it. They get it done. They're methodical about the way they go about the business. Great yes. coach, great players offensively. Vasilevsky, I don't know how you can go against this guy, best goalie in hockey, and they probably have the best defenseman in the NHL too, and Victor Hedman. I'm taking 7-1, three-peat for Tampa.
You did say Tom Brady would go to the Lightning. I will give you credit there. I'm going to go off the board here. Well, not off the board because everyone's on the board. The Seattle Kraken, 50-1. And that's by the way, there's 11 teams lower than them.
That's correct.
Wait, more. No, 11 teams, maybe a third of the league.
Really?
More than a third of the league. The Blackhawks, the Sharks, the Blue Jackets, Vancouver, Ducks, Kings, Senators, Coyotes, Harry, Devils, Red Wings, Sabres, sure. all 60-1 and more.
Yeah.
Paulie Kidd, you mentioned that expansion draft is in 2 weeks, 13 days, right?
Vegas set the blueprint for that, right? They had a very good expansion year. So you could thank Vegas, the Knights, for that because...
But you wouldn't think, than 11 teams. It's crazy. Make them as much as the Red Wings.
I feel like it's the only sport where that could even happen, right? Like that could never happen... In football, basketball, the major sports, it couldn't happen, right? An expansion team, you wouldn't even think about making the playoffs.
And it's weird because hockey starts as many as basketball, right? But, every team has a star now, so it's screwed up with basketball. But you hear people say, well, that team, that Connor McDavid team didn't do well because they only go 10 deep. Like, so you need a whole a complete team to compete in whatever month this is, July, or it will be April next year. But like I said, expansion draft, 13 days, number 2 pick in the regular draft, which is the 23rd, I think. That's a couple weeks also. Who could be open in this expansion draft? Kucherov? Sorry, Harry, Tampa Bay loses. Kucherov's on the Kraken. Mm. Anders Lee, McDavid, Sid the Kid. Those guys aren't going. No, none of those guys are going there.
Very interesting.
It'll be fun, 50-1 odds. That's what I would do anyway. So hockey is in the rearview mirror, but FanDuel Fight Night is back and it's bigger than ever before. This Saturday, FanDuel is giving new users 30-1 odds on either Conor McGregor or Dustin Poirier to win at UFC 264. That means you can win $150 on a $5 bet. Oh my God. If you don't already have an account, you have to do this.
Yeah.
They're letting all customers actually bet the fight risk-free. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get in on the action. It's so easy to use. And when you win, you get paid in as little as 24 hours. So don't miss out on the fight of the summer, McGregor versus Poirier, this Saturday. Just use promo code against all odds to get started. It's all part of FanDuel Fight Night, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. This should be a fun one. And I watched both fights last night. Such a difference. I mean, obviously the first fight was in 2014. Conor was just so crisp and like aggressive, right? Yeah. Like didn't let up for a minute. Poirier looked nervous. I mean, he hadn't hit his peak yet. It was 7 years ago. Second fight, Conor got off some great shots, right? Probably won that first round, but Poirier took it all and he just bided his time. Yep. And I don't know. The line is always jacked in favor of Conor. So I think, for this to be a coin flip, I don't know if Conor, this is stupid to say because anyone could get caught and Poirier could end up like lights out. But I think Poirier took everything Conor had, right? These leg kicks and they took some shots to the head and he just like shook it off. And eventually, like I said, bided his time and knocked him out. I just think these lines are going to be inflated towards Conor no matter what he does, no matter who he fights for the next 5 years. I like Poirier by KO or TKO at 2-1 odds. Harry, I think you're with me for this.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a repeat of the last fight. Dustin's been on our pod, which is very cool.
I should have mentioned that. Very good guy.
9 of his last 13 wins have come by KO or TKO. So, Sal, right. I'm with you. And I think it's pretty good value when you get 2-1 on that.
All right. What are you going to do, Brother Bri? I mean, this is there's so much to go with this. The KO, TKO makes sense at 2-1. But then you might just want to take them straight up if it goes the distance. I have a lot of parlays with this not going the distance that are open with tennis and other bullshit. But so I think and it should end earlier. But what do you say?
Yeah, well, we've had a streak, right, of over 4.5 that have been hitting.
For the main events.
Yeah, for these main events in the UFC. But look, I do like Dustin a lot. I think I'm just going to play him straight up to win -126. Look, I've been wrong. I feel really bad, especially because I spoke to him. with you, but I've been wrong on pretty much every one of his fights except the Gaethje fight. We're obviously all pulling for him. But my assumption is we're not going to see the same Connor that we saw in the second fight, who had his energy zapped in the second round. But I think it's going to be the same type of strategy by Dustin, right? The low leg kicks killed him. The grappling will drain his energy. I just think this is like a finish, but a little bit later on. A couple of things I also liked. I like the fight to start the third round because I do think this maybe will be a finish in the third or fourth round. But I'm a little bit different from you guys. I know you guys both like the KOs, but I do like, if I'm betting a little bit on this, I kind of like a possible submission late for Poirier. Just because if he gets him on the ground, wrestles him late. If he's on the ground with him, there's a good potential. It could be over.
All right. Parlay Kid, you found, a diamond in the rough on these FanDuel props. It kind of goes against what your brother, Bri, just ended with.
But. Yeah. Well, I mean, we're all rooting for Poirier as a friend of the podcast, as you mentioned. It's under double chance. I've never really seen this before. Again, maybe I just haven't looked closely enough on FanDuel. But basically what they're giving you is odds for Poirier to win by KO or TKO, which Harry said has been his method of victory as of late in particular, or by points. And you can get that at plus 115 for Poirier. I really like this. So
so it's everything but this, but
everything
submission.
But submission.
DQ, everything. Yeah.
Right. And Poirier really has a 2-to-1 ratio in terms of his wins that are a greater by knockout than by submission. I think he's got 13 knockouts in his career. He does have 7 submissions, so he does submit, but lately he's been more of a knockout guy. And I think this fight plays out very similar to the last one. And I think he KOs him somewhere in that third round area and finishes. But in case the fight gets off to a slower start, McGregor is trying to pace himself more and both fighters are trying to pace themselves more, maybe you could still get the victory by points at plus 115 for Poirier. I like it. It gives you a chance in a couple different
covers
ways.
Covers almost all the bases, right? Yeah. And Harry, that KO or TKO is any time. Like, so that could happen in the press conference afterwards and we're okay, right?
In UFC, I guess so, right?
It's going to be my joke of the day. All right, Shark Tank, I believe if we count Harry Kane pick as a loss, I think we went 0-for-3, right, Brian? I jumped off with you in the Red Sox, and the Angels have beat him up.
Struggling. I didn't even go. Yeah. I didn't even get a WNBA loss. I got a baseball loss.
I know.
Sonny. Jesus.
These dudes with bats. All right, but you're going UFC for Sharp Tank.
Yeah, I'm going UFC, but I do love this pick. I know Parlay Kid likes it, but I do like Gilbert Burns plus 122 against Wonderboy Thompson. I've had this on. I've had a couple huge parlays that have been waiting on Burns and Poirier. I think
I have one too. Yeah.
We've just been waiting on these to potentially hit. But I thought for a while Burns was the second best welterweight behind Usman, even better than Covington.
Shouldn't be an underdog against this guy. Should not be an underdog. Right. I think it's unbelievable value here.
Yeah, really weird. He has such a good all-around game. He's kind of like Oliveira a little bit. His striking has gotten really good. His wrestling and submission game is great. I've been shocked. I've been shocked at this line. It's crazy to me that Wonderboy is the favorite. He looked good against Jeff Neal, but so did Neil Magny look good against Jeff Neal. So, I like Burns in this fight. It's only a 3-round fight. I wish it was a 5-rounder. So even, as a little extra, I might put Burns by decision at plus 390. I think Burns was devastated. He was crying like a baby after the Usman fight. I think he'll want to get some type of revenge in this one and get Covington or Usman next. So,
all right, now it's Bryce chance to cry like a baby if he gets botched on a bad split decision 3 rounds.
Very
29-28.
Wonderboy has not been positive to me.
Harry, you going baseball?
Yeah, I'm going to go baseball tonight. Washington versus San Diego. We got Scherzer and Darvish on the mound. Under 7.5 is the play at minus 122. Look, Scherzer's ERA 2.10, Darvish 2.65. Five straight starts for Scherzer, 1 run or less. And in the last 10 home starts for Darvish, he is 10-0, giving up 2 runs or less. Under 7.5 at minus 122 is my Sharp Tank pick.
I think the Nationals, though, maybe they're So the Schwab got hurt. I'm trying to think. They were I was betting their over run total. They're really hitting the ball, right?
Yeah, they've been good. Washington's been good.
15 runs,
yeah.
4 runs, 7 runs.
Yeah.
Dodgers, they scored 10 against the Dodgers and 6 against the Dodgers, 15 against the Rays. All right, I'm probably not taking that. I know Darvish is good. All right, Paulie Kidd, I do like this one.
Yeah, well, I mean, my Sharp Tank, they've been disasters. I had the Tampa -1.5, and they just couldn't get that second goal. I must say, though, I did give out, and so I got a little credit on Twitter. I did just give them out to win in regulation at -135 Tampa. So a couple people did hit on that.
Good job by you.
Well, Sal, I was going to go with the Mets. So I don't know if you like that. Is that the one you really like?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, why? Oh, you're changing it now?
I was going to change it, Sal.
Well, good. I forgot how bad you've been. So, yeah.
Right. And because you know what? I would take that Mets pick just because if I lost, I'd be just jinxing the Mets, right? So
right.
It wouldn't hurt me that badly. So I can't do that.
Yeah, but they'll win by one. They'll win by one.
I can't do that. Yeah. I don't want to do that.
I know. The reason is the Pirates have been weirdly hot, although they lost to the Braves
yesterday.
It's strange, right?
They got beat up. But I was going to go with the Mets -1.5. But I do have a couple $100 on the Dodgers who are winning big right now. So that's pretty good for me right now.
Oh, today?
They cost me yesterday, so I went back with them today. They're up 6-1.
Yeah, but they're back. They've won 10 out of 12, right? If they win this, I feel like they're back. Even though Kershaw's DL'd, I think, for 10 days. And who the frick knows with Bauer? Yeah. We'll obviously
right.
see him.
Right. Yeah. Dodgers, if that game didn't start at 12, I would have been all over them today. But it was a noon Eastern start. So, Sal, I'm going to go Giannis over 12.5 rebounds +110. Hmm. 17 last game showed that he's healthy. I think a guy who is, is he technically probably the best player on the floor? Yep. I think we have to admit that he's the best player on either team in this series.
Ayton, baby, Ayton.
Okay. Harry, you and I have both won some money on Ayton, so I do like him. But yeah, plus, this is, I saw this before 11.5, but it jumped to 12.5. You get, +110 at it. I think Giannis is this right around his average, but I think he's gonna do a little of everything tonight. So let's take him as well. Over 12.5 rebounds, +110.
If he rebounds one of his missed free throws that's about to go flying over his head, that doesn't count though, right? I feel like we have to go over every rule now because these things come down to technical. Counts?
I would think it counts if you
if he misses a rebound and has to chase it down.
Misses a rebound?
Yes, in the third row. Forget it. I'm making a dumb joke. All right, you know what? I'm going with you anyway, Parley Kid. Over 12.5 rebounds +110.
You know he's going to be close to that, right? He's going to be fighting for that at some point. Right.
I'm all things Milwaukee today. All right, good point, bad point. As we wrap up here, babyface Joel Solomon, what was the best point? What was the worst point?
All right, I think you know where I'm headed. Harry's been struggling, so we got to give him a win with my good point, pointing out how great DeAndre Ayton has been during the playoffs. Everyone talks about Paul and Booker, but no one has an answer for him, just like when Parlay Kid asked Harry about getting married.
That's true. You're right.
Harry's got there's a couple big occasions coming up right now where Harry could pop the question.
That's true.
Darren puts some pressure on. Darren puts pressure on me.
Could pop the question in Vegas. That would be something else.
Yeah, right. When popping the question means, honey, can you get me another plate of Wagyu beef? I think that's the question he's going to pop next week. Anyway, all right, what's the bad point, Joel?
I wish Fred Gorski was here. I would give him a bad point for trusting you how to work along.
I do feel bad. I mean, it probably ruined this the expensive lawnmower. That was a disaster back then.
Well, at the risk of getting the wrath of Parlay Kid, I'm giving him the bad point, thinking that the Cowboys are above doing the Hard Knocks. No, they're exactly the perfect team for Hard Knocks.
It's terrible. Terrible.
Well, Parlay Kid, here's the thing. They usually make the quarterback look good in these, right? And then the bad players, they just cut. And I don't know. We know our team. We don't. What are we going to? How are we going to think differently?
I know. It's not much.
We'll watch. What are you going to do?
I watch it every season. And so I'll watch this. You know,
I'm just glad it's not Jason Garrett running things, right? That would be a tough, even tougher watch.
Like, I don't really, I think I watching Mike McCarthy is going to be just as tough. Funny. Oh my we'll gosh.
Get a, you know, he'll dress up at SeaWorld like Campo did. He'll get in the outfit.
Zeke Elliott's going to be so hilarious, so funny.
No, that'll be good. Gosh. Yeah.
You know what's funny? I am heading out after work to Riverside. It's going to be in traffic. It's going to take 2.5 hours. My 7-year-old is in the Pony South Region Pony Little League World Series. So it's nice. A 12-team tournament, and I have to pack for 2 days because we might be there till Sunday.
Wow, that's fun.
Nice.
Or he could be out. Yeah. So this is
go big
wait,
H.
Wait. So they call it Pony Little League?
Yeah. Pony. It's no, not Little League. It's Pony. Yeah.
But like, Pony League always like a slightly.
It was in between. It older, was like right? usually it was yeah. in between seven like Little eight, League right? and
it was usually Little League and
the next.
Oh,
level.
Really? Yeah. Intermediate.
It was like yeah.
Out here, it's 7 and 8.
At least East Coast. Yeah, that was like a 13-year-old age group.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, they do things differently. We play Escondido in the first round. That's a team close to San Diego, and
you'll be doing the book, Sal.
I'll be doing the book. I think I'm going to be like 20 minutes late. So I've made arrangements, but
Escondido's 102
south. Degrees. Believe me, they've done research on these teams. It's unbelievable what these fathers do, like looking at these teams. And I would like them to either lose both tonight so it could be done or win the whole thing.
What's the scouting report on the pitcher, Sal?
No, the pitcher's a machine.
I know, exactly. So what are these guys doing? Exactly. What are these guys doing? Oh, my gosh.
The key is to hit it back up the box into the machine because it's an automatic single.
Automatic single.
So that's what you do. But anyway, that's what I'll be doing. And we will be back on Tuesday. Yeah, we're running out of basketball. Good tennis coming up. Got some basketball games this weekend. And what else is there? Oh, the soccer. Brother Brian, let's not bet the soccer. Let's just stay
away. I'm probably betting Italy. And then
Italy, really? We have soccer. I got money on England, but I think I might.
Yeah, I mean, Sunday's a great day, right? You get Wimbledon, right? Then I think it's all it's Wimbledon, then the soccer, and then the NBA.
Soccer's at 3 Eastern.
And then NBA that night.
And there's a game 3 is, right, that's good. All right, so that's it for another episode of Against All Odds. For the Degenerate Trifecta, Babyface Joel Solomon, Spaghetti and Meatballs, I'm Sal Singh. So long, and happy handicapping. Na, 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 na,